Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. We welcome you to join us in a study of God's Word today. May God open your heart and mind as you listen to the eternal truths found in His Word.
Our sermon text this morning is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 24. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise the words of the prophets. But test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So, I don't know about you guys, but when I was a little kid, I hated that passage. I would hear people say it, pray without ceasing, or never stop praying, or pray continually. And I was always like, well, how the heck am I supposed to do that? I've got stuff to do, people. I would hear this chapter or these verses, and I would always wonder, how is this possible? Who in the world can spend all day, every day praying? It just doesn't seem, in all likelihood, to be that possible to pray without ceasing. As I've got older and I went to college and seminary, I started to go to monasteries at different points, and there was times where I thought, oh, well, maybe monks can do this. You know, monks are called to pray throughout the day. They gather together seven times a day to pray, and when they're in their cells, they pray. And I thought, maybe they could do it. In fact, the Benedictine monks, who are some of my favorites, their motto for their society is Ora et Labora, prayer and work. That's what they do. They pray and they work. But I realize not all of us are called to monasticism. We have Monastery Road right down the road, but it doesn't even have a monastery on it. So I don't think any of us are going to be joining a local monastery anytime soon. We can't all live a monastic life, although I do think we could benefit from living more monastically. But as I've thought about this, I've thought, if Scripture calls us to it, if Paul says that Jesus, who is faithful, calls you to this, there must be a way for us to somehow do this. I don't think Paul would tell us that Jesus is calling us to this unless Paul really believed that we could somehow pray without ceasing. There's got to be some way of doing this. And as I've thought about that, there's a quote that came up this week that I thought just fit really well with kind of this idea of being in constant prayer, but still living our lives. Saint Teresa of Avila said this, "Jacob did not cease to be a saint just because he had to attend his flocks." And I like that because Jacob was still able to do the duty that Jacob was called to do, to tend his sheep, to be their shepherd, but he was still a saint in the eyes of the church. And so I think one of the ways that we can approach this text is to realize that there are different ways of praying. I wish I would have known that when I was a little kid. You see, growing up, I was taught that there was only one way to pray. You know, it was the Acts prayer, adoration, confession, although we normally skip confession because growing up, Nazarenes were, you know, we believed in holiness and so we didn't sin no more, which again, as I grew up, I came to find out that that was inaccurate as well. But we did adoration, sometimes confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. You know, basically I was taught we talk about how good God is and then we thank God And then we act like God's this cosmic ATM where, God, I need this. Thank you. God, I also need this. Thank you. God, could you do this? Thank you. And that was the only way that I was taught to pray. But as I've gotten older and as I've experienced more of my faith, I've realized that there's different ways that we pray, and people pray in different ways. And what I do as prayer may not be the most beneficial for you in prayer at times, and vice versa. Somebody that has really helped me to see this idea of prayer and being able to be in constant prayer or to pray without ceasing was a monk named Brother Lawrence, who wrote Practicing the Presence of God. And so this monk realized that God was constantly with him, that God was as close to him while he was doing the dishes as God was when he was receiving the Eucharist in the chapel, that while he was reading his scripture, God was as close to him then as God was when he was taking a bath, that God was always close with us. We just had to be aware of it. That God is as close to me right now as I'm preaching as God is when I'm over at the assisted living home transporting clients around. That God is as close to me when I'm mounting an icon as God is when I'm watching the newest episode of Criminal Minds. That God is constantly with us, and we need to jump into that stream, if you will, to realize that God is continually surrounding us. Brother Lawrence in his book talks about the more that we practice this realization that God is continually around us, the easier it is for us to be in constant communication with God, for us to realize that even our little acts can be acts of prayer and that they can be done to the glory of God. In fact, I have a friend who he's now in Ohio, but we were in Kansas City for a time together, where he used to always say that he believes that there will be a Coke worker in heaven, that there will be somebody working at a Coke factory because one of his friends has great joy in working for Coke. And he says, if heaven is the place where we are able to receive great joy and to do everything for the glory of God, then his friends should be able to make Coca-Cola for the glory of God in heaven. Kind of went on a tangent there. But that all these things we can do, that they can be done for the glory of God, that they can be done in an act of prayer. And so there are many different ways to pray. And I think some of them we're more used to than others. And some of them I think we think of more as prayer than others. We have spontaneous prayers. Those prayers where we sit down and we pray, God, thank you for today. Thank you for all that you're doing. As I continue to make words come out of my mouth off the top of my head, you know, those spontaneous prayers where we're just praying what we're feeling inside or what we're thinking, I think for most of us, those are probably the most common prayers that we know. For me, those are ones that I've done pretty much every day of my life, at least always before I go to bed. It was in college that I realized that there were some prayers that were written, which is kind of shocking to me because there's at least one written prayer I knew since a little kid, the Lord's Prayer. That was written down. And so thanks to resources like the Book of Common Prayer or different breviaries or different prayer books, there are prayers that have been written down that help us to engage in prayer in a new way. I know for me, one of the prayer books I use, it often calls me to pray about things that I would not have thought to pray about otherwise. If I'm honest, I never think to pray about town hall until on Thursdays when the prayer book says, pray for your local government. Would have never thought about it. It doesn't cross my mind. There's one prayer app that's on my phone that I'll occasionally use, and every day it lists a different denomination or a different church in which we can be praying for in remembrance that we are working towards the same general goal of spreading the gospel of and love of Christ Jesus. And so there's different types of prayers. There's those that are ancient and old and that have been prayed by many and many throughout the years. Then there are some that are more spontaneous. I had a friend ask me one day, he was like, why do you like written prayer so much? Why do you like them? And when I've told them that, I think they're just well thought out and they're deeply meaningful. And I'll often quote Henry David Thoreau, where he says, all my best thoughts were stolen by the ancients. And I believe that a lot of these prayers are just better than ones that I could do, whether it be praying scripture or whether that be praying from an ancient source, such as the saints or the Book of Common Prayer or whatever. There's different ways to pray. And now some of these are better if you're more introverted or more quiet, if you like being still, which there's a time for that. But then if you're like me, you can kind of struggle with that sometimes because you need to be moving. You need to be doing something. Many of you have seen that my girlfriend Annie makes prayer beads as a tool to help people pray. And not only has she made prayer beads, she's made up a little card that she sends out with them. Because although there are certain books that will give you certain prayers to pray throughout the different seasons, you know, and they're kind of repetitive. Some people don't do too well with that, just saying the same things over and over again. She's made a card that has people pray them a little differently, where it has an opening prayer and a couple opening scriptures. But then as you go through each set of beads, there's different things, such as a set for praising God, a set for confessing before God, a set for bringing our concerns for ourselves and for others before God, and finally a set which, again, we recall what we are thankful for. They are helpful, at least that I've seen different friends of mine who have got them, in finding a way to focus their prayers. Plus, for me, I'm always doing something with my hands, and so it's nice to have something to move through my hands and to almost to have that to see how far I've been going and how far I've made it through the prayers. It gives us a physical act in praying, which many of the high liturgical church, I think they've got right. I know there's often a joke about the Catholic Church. You go to a mass and it's like going to the gym because you're up, down, kneel, up, down, kneel again, up, down, up, kneel, and you're just constantly moving. But I think there's great benefit in that when we put our bodies into our prayers. I know there's been different times where if I've gone and sinned against God greatly and I've realized that there's times where when I pray, you know, it'll be a remover of my glasses and almost a covering of my face and coming before God and confessing, and you have that physical nature, that covering of your face almost. And then often after I'm done praying, it's the removal of my hand from my face and just a thank you, Lord, with my hands out, almost as if I'm receiving. There's different times where if I've really wanted to be intentional in my prayers, where I've actually knelt down in front of an altar that I have at home, because it's a way to keep my body grounded with my mind. And so there's different ways of incorporating our bodies into prayer. Something else that I'll use frequently is similar to the prayer beads that Annie makes. It goes by a few different names. They're called a prayer rope. They're also called a tchotchke, is their liturgical name. But basically, they're just a rope that you can go through, and there's prayers you pray with it. On the little knots, you pray, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And you just continually go through that. And for me, it helps me to come to a place of quietness before God. It helps me to just focus on who God is. I also like the story behind these. It was said that there was a monk, St. Pachomius, who a way to help him pray, he would make knots in a rope in order for him to track his prayers. and in order for him to pray the daily rule that he was given. But every time he would do it, as he was praying, the knots would become undone, and he would feel disheartened. And so one day, after the monk had prayed intensely, it says that an angel appeared to him and taught him how to make a certain type of knot that uses interlocked crosses and pulling, and that these knots would be unable to unravel. And it helped him to pray as vigorously as he needed to and keep concentrated on what he's praying instead of the knots falling apart. Part of the prayers that can be prayed with these, it's called the Jesus Prayer, the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's also used as what's known as a breath prayer, which is becoming more and more common in my life. Breath prayers are simple little prayers that you can pray while breathing. For many, it's on the inhale, it's Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, and on the exhale, have mercy on me, a sinner. And they're just simple things that you can do while walking. And because of praying these simple prayers, I've noticed just how deeply embedded in me they've become, that there are times where if I'm walking in the store and I'm not really thinking about anything, I'll catch myself in my head just praying, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Without thinking about it, just because I've gotten so used to praying that, to constantly be trying to be in the presence of God and to be in His mercy. Those are little prayers like that that we can pray. There's different times where I get really anxious where just the little phrase, peace be with me. Christ says, peace be with me. I'll repeat it over and over in my head as it just brings me back into the acknowledgement that I am surrounded by God and that Christ has said, peace be with you. Another form of prayer that we don't really use here, but we used at the church I went to in Kansas City, and that I think could be an interesting practice for us to do one day, is they had a set of candles off to the side. And any time during the service, somebody could get up and they could go light a prayer, or they could go light a candle. And that candle represented a prayer, as the flames and the not smoke but the vapor or whatever went up, you could see the heat rising, almost like the prayer is rising to heaven. And it was a symbol for those of us around to see this person has a prayer request or a praise. We can join them in that prayer without knowing what it is. But we're able to join together, and you're able to see these prayers as the light of Christ, that as we give over our prayers to God, that the light of Christ is happening. And those are all more of the active different type of prayers, different ways that involve us doing different things, moving, lighting, just ways of being engaged. There's some prayers, that I've mentioned this a few times, how extroverted I am, that I need people, that I need movement, I need stimulation around me. But it's been good for me over the last several years to move into a more meditative and contemplative style of prayer as well. Where there's times where, whether it be an image or scripture verse or what be it, that I'll just take time and focus on it, you can start to see the way God is moving through things. There's different artwork that I'll sit out and I'll stare at, and I walk away and somehow God has said something to me. I remember that especially with some of Caravaggio, some of his artwork. There was one of St. Peter, and there was another one of Judas kissing Christ. And when you look at Peter and Judas, they look pretty similar. We have one that throughout church history has been considered kind of the greatest of the apostles, and the other who was considered the least of the apostles. But here they look vastly similar. That time of just taking in what's around us. I often do that when I'm by the ocean as well. Like a year ago, I wrote a blog in which I talked about how being by the ocean was such a meditative state for me. because the ocean is so much bigger than I can imagine, and it's so powerful, yet it's not overtaking me. And it reminded me of the ways that God is so much bigger than I could ever comprehend. But God invites us to participate in the life of God. One of the prayers that I probably struggle with the most is contemplation, where you just sit in silence. That can be a hard one. Our world is so busy. There's constantly things bombarding us that it's hard to take time to just be silent before God. But it's during those times where I often feel like after I've done it that God has spoken to me. I can't ever really say what God has spoken, but somehow God has gotten into my soul and has comforted me and said something. And sometimes I'll figure it out later. But I think whatever prayer is, and however we use prayer, it has to, again, be more than just God as the cosmic ATM. Of course, there's nothing wrong with asking God for what we need. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." There's nothing wrong with asking for that which we need. But prayer is not mainly about asking for what we need. It's a tool that helps us to foster and build our relationship with God. It really wouldn't be much of a relationship if every time I talked to one of my parents, it was just, "Hey, I need this. Thank you. Hey, I need this as well. Thank you." If I didn't take time to get to know them and spend time with them, the relationship wouldn't be the same. So again, I think when we do pray, in whatever way we pray, we need to look at it in two ways, as being one, contemplative, and two, active. St. Pio says this, "He who does not meditate acts as one who never looks into the mirror, and so does not bother to put themselves in order, since they can be dirty without knowing it. The person who meditates and turns their thought to God, who is the mirror of the soul, seeks to know their defects and tries to correct them, moderates themselves and their impulses, and puts their conscience in order." I believe that's true, that when we are silent before God, God can really reveal some things in us. But then there's a West African proverb, which I also believe deeply. When you pray, move your feet. Meaning that not only can we ask for God to do justice in this world, that we have to step into that justice as well. It was in college where I read a quote that has stuck with me ever since. It said, "There are times when I look up to God and say, 'God, why aren't you doing anything about the suffering children, about those that are hungry, about those that are cold, those that are naked, those that are in prison?' To which God looked back at me and said, 'Why are you not doing anything about the children that are suffering, those that are cold, those that are hungry, and those that are in prison?'" It's a two-way street of both looking inwards and acting outwards. And lastly, I'll close this discussion on prayer with this. There's a quote by Søren Kierkegaard that I carry around in my wallet for this year. It's kind of been my quote of the year, if you will. Kierkegaard says this, "The function of prayer is not to influence God, but rather to change the nature of the one who prays." And so again, it's not wrong to pray in hopes that we influence God, but that's not the main task of it. The main task of it is that we would get in sync with God's will, that we would be shaped and conformed to the image of His Son for the sake of others. And so there's a multitude of ways to pray. And I pray that as a church that we would try different ways, but that as we try these different ways, we do it not solely for our own benefit, but so that we could be better images of Christ to the world around us. Would you pray with me this morning? God, would you help teach us to be a people of prayer, to come to you not only when we need something, but in every aspect, in every moment of our day. God, would you help us as your people to learn to really practice the presence of God well? That as we are out on the ocean catching lobsters, or as we are fixing a car, or as we're caring for the elderly that can't always take care of themselves, or as we're working and commuting to our jobs, God, would you help us to realize that you are in those moments? That as we travel up and down the highway, that you are sitting in the car with us. That as we sit down for dinner, you are there sitting beside us at the table. That as we go about and do whatever it is that we do for fun, that you are cheering us on. That even when we are just relaxing and watching the next episode of the latest Netflix show, you are there with us. God, would you help us to be a people that realize that you are constantly around us and that we are constantly in your grace and in your mercy. God, help us to move with you, to journey with you, to be led by your Spirit. During this season of Lent, we especially think of where your Spirit led Christ and how your Spirit did not leave him. God, would you lead us to where you need us to be? And would you remind us that you are constantly with us? And so, Lord, we pray these things in your holy and precious name. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. Our website also includes instructions for subscribing to our podcast so you can have a message delivered to you weekly. May God bless you as you serve him this week.